All right. We are glad you're here tonight. Just so you know, I won't be here Sunday night. I will be in Oregon preaching at Grandview Baptist, and Travis will be preaching for me. I'll be here in the morning. And so we're letting you know that. And then the media meeting, we'll go back in the little classroom back over there. And so, all right. Revelation chapter 3. These messages are completely unrelated from this morning, but just out of the same area of the Bible. There's a lot in there. I preached out of Revelation 1. I don't know how many times I never preached anything I preached this morning, and never focused on the time frame of and the references there, and I never really preached on being in the Spirit in that particular way. There's a lot in there. Revelation 3. One of the seven churches is Church of Sardis, not one of the better churches. And I just want to say, just because it says church doesn't mean it's good. In Bible times, there is messed up churches. And this is one of them. And God tells them how to correct it. God wants them to correct it, but they're human institutions that God ordained, but there's humans in them, and so they have weaknesses. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, unto the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things say he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, and that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come upon thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, for they, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I shall confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's go ahead and pray. Thank you, Father, for the words of God. Thank you for the power of these words. We'll just be starting in this passage and go to some others. And Lord, you have a will. You have a plan. You have a message for us. And Lord, I can mess things up real good if you don't intervene and help us, Lord. I need you to speak. We need you to speak. And I pray that you would control. I pray you'd fill me with the Spirit of God. I pray that you'd speak through me. I know I'm indwelt, Lord, but I pray that there'd be an anointing upon me that you would speak and in your goodness and in your mercy, Father. And do a mighty work, Lord. Use everything in this room, everything that we've given to you, the PA system, my voice, my body, my mind, and every seat, everything in this room is to help people hear the preaching. And I pray tonight that we would not only hear it, but receive it and be changed and spoken to. Please, Lord, work powerfully and do a mighty work now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as whenever we go into the churches here, there's a bunch of patterns, and the patterns are all very important as we study those patterns. And the first thing Jesus always does is he describes himself, and what his description is going to be the solution to the problem, because Jesus is always the answer. And he always solves your problems. And so in all seven churches, whatever their problem is, he's going to list later. He starts off by saying, I am this guy. And whatever he says is going to be the solution to whatever their problems are. This church's problems, he says, I know thy works, as he says to every church, and thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. So you have a name that you're alive, but you're actually dead. So the problem is they're dead. Well, the answer, as Jesus says, he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. So what are those things? Well, let's go back a little bit and to go to Revelation 1 and verse 12. It says, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. That's the churches. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed. Verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his hairs were as flame of fire, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like in a fine brass, that they're burning the furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And so there's the seven stars. He reminded us that he holds them, and he reminds us of that. Verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. and the seven candlesticks, which I saw, are the seven churches. The word angels is, you gotta be careful when you read the word angel a little bit, because the context will tell you what it's referring to. Angels, it's transliterated. What that means is you take the equivalent Greek letter alpha, you switch it to an, if you don't have an exact word in the other language, you transliterate it. So what you do is you take the letters and you transfer them over to the other language, and just, that's the word now. So you take the alpha and you make it an A. And so in the Greek, it's angelos or angelos. And so we say angels. The word, we think of the word angels, and we think of, a cherubim, a beautiful white thing with wings and all those things. And that's what we think of. But angels came in many forms just in the Bible. A lot of times you couldn't tell they weren't a person and such. And so there are many forms, and they came in physical forms, and they could do all kinds of things physically, and they did those things. And so, but the word means messenger. So the word, that's the literal meaning of the word. The word just means messenger. And so sometimes you find a messenger being sent, but it's using the word angel. And so he says, I hold the seven messengers in my right hand. It could be that each church has an angel. I tend to think it's talking about the pastor of a church, the messenger of the church, and that he holds them in his right hand. Because we don't have any other evidence that there's an angel for each church, or there's probably more of an angel for each one of us, at least one, maybe more. If we go back to Revelation 3, he says, he that hath the seven spirits of God. Now, we know there's one Holy Spirit, but of course, the Revelation is full of sevens everywhere. I believe when it says the seven spirits of God, he's talking about Holy Spirit fullness. And so he says, you have a name that you live, but you're dead. But the one who's talking to you is he who has the seven spirits of God, the fullness of spirit, and he who has, and he also has the seven stars, the seven messengers. So what you need is you need a message. In either case, by the way, so often angels were messengers. Gabriel, of course, always brings a message and stuff. So you need a message, and you need the Holy Spirit. And that's the answer to them being dead. And then he tells them, since you're dead, if it says verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, which are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. So you're dying, so you better watch and strengthen the things that are ready to die. I want to talk tonight about grow or die. Grow or die, or stop death, either one. We must remember the condition we're in throughout the Bible. The Bible is very clear on it. And let me take you to Romans. The condition we're in is we're in a condition of going towards death. And the good word for it in the Bible is corruption. And it's a lot of times it's used. The most often it's used actually is about Christ's body, because it was prophesied in the Old Testament that his body would not be corrupted. It would not be corrupted as a body that dies, the deterioration of death. And it's quoted many times. It's quoted, it's given in the Old Testament, quoted in the Gospels, and then quoted throughout, especially in the Book of Acts, but other books of the Bible, that about corruption. And death is a condition we're in. We're in the condition of dying. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. It says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. So we're finding out a little about death and life through Jesus. Verse 17, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign by the life of Jesus Christ. And then verse 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. And so we kind of see that there's this death thing. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Now take it to Romans 8. So sin brings death. We know that. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We'll read that in a sec. But Romans 8:21. It says, because a creature itself, all creation itself, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. So all of nature is in this bondage of corruption. When Jesus comes back, it'll be delivered. Now, it's real simple. I mean, you know this, but I'm just making it, establishing it biblically. You don't say, you know what? I'm going to start dying now. I'm going to have my body start falling apart, and I'm going to choose to start the process of deteriorating physically, and the universe doesn't say, you know what, we're fine, and we're just going to get better and better. Evolution says that, but that's not what happens. The sun is dying. Your body is dying. Information is being lost. Things are fall apart. If you leave this pulpit for 1,000 years, it's not going to become anything but more deteriorated. Everything deteriorates. Everything is corrupting. Everything is dying. Stars are dying. Planets are dying. Things are falling apart. Things deteriorate. If I leave anything out, if I leave my cell phone, it dies. It falls to pieces. It goes to parts. It starts corrupting. If you leave a cord for the PA system here, and you left that for 1,000,000 years, that cord would deteriorate. I know evolution says the opposite. Everything's getting more complicated and going up. Well, but that's not what happens. Everything that's happening is everything in creation is underneath this corruption. It naturally deteriorates. It naturally goes towards death. Everything is dying. That's just where we are, and that's just part of life, and that's going to end up. Understand that. We started in the Garden of Eden. We ended up in Armageddon. We started in paradise. We're going to end up with the world being destroyed and battles and wars and destruction. It's just kind of the natural flow of things. Mankind started living forever. Then death came, and they started living for 800 years, 900 years. Not 900, 800 years, 700 years. Then God says, too much. And they deteriorated to a lower level. And so that's kind of the way things happen. You watch a tree and you'll say, it's a beautiful tree. But the tree is eventually going to die. It will not live forever. It'll begin to rot inside, termite-related. It'll whatever happens. And the wood, you cut that tree down, that wood does not get better as you leave it out. It begins to rot. Because all of creation is in this condition, and that's where we are. Let me take you to James 1:15, and just not a stab at anything. It's, you know, I never knew that, but it's part of the foundation of the sermon a little bit. James 1:15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So, everything's dying. Now, I want to get a little ahead in the sermon. I'll go back and build a foundation, but I want to explain something to you. Because of that process, because all creation is groaning to be delivered from the corruption that it's in, and the death that is coming, and all those things, because that's true, if you leave something, it dies. Now, that is true across the board. It is true in organisms. It's true in life. It's true in institutions. If you had a successful business and somebody who was in charge took their hands off that business, the business would probably not get better. It'd probably deteriorate. Okay? I want you to understand that. Since we're in this complete creation that's dying, now, good news, hey, in heaven, everything's fixed. No more corruption, no more death, no more anything. That's great. However, in this world we're in, everything naturally flows a certain way. It flows towards death. So a church left to itself without doing the right steps dies. It gets worse. A marriage without changing something will get worse if you just leave it and neglect it. If anything is like that, your health, at a certain point, and we'll talk about growing, but at a certain point that you pass this line, and all of a sudden, if you don't take care of yourself, your health goes straight downhill. Okay? There was a point of growing where you didn't have to worry about that. All of a sudden, you have to start taking care of yourself. How many of you did not ever used to be able to gain weight? when you were young. And you could eat hamburgers all day and you could eat whatever you want and you felt great and nothing affected you and you were great. You could run and jump and climb and everything and you didn't feel it. Now I find these muscles I didn't know I had that I pull. Where is that? I've been doing all this, these exercises for getting ready for the Philippines. And I'm doing some odd thing and I found out there's some muscles I don't use very much because they sure didn't appreciate that workout. And they didn't care for that. And that's natural. Your health is like that. I found this is always true in ministry. If I can go and build a bus route and by God's grace and God helps build it, and all of a sudden, and he sends the people along, and all of a sudden I got a full bus. Awesome. I'm bringing in 20 people on my 22-passenger bus, and me and my kids. And so my workers. And so we bring them in, and guess what? That bus route's doing great. But you know what? If I don't work that bus route, you know what it does? It goes down and down and down. We have one of our kids this morning is moving away. Good kid. Just a fun kid. Guess what? He's moving away, and next week we'll have one less. No, we'll have three less kids because he's got a little brother and sister. They were here this morning, and it goes down. People move. We're in a transient society, and poor apartments where my bus route is, people move all the time, and so it goes down unless I keep building it up, and I got to get new people. Then somebody backslides. But you know what? Many times, if I work it and keep it alive, what happens? I start working at the parents, and the parents start coming. And I have those kids get their friends, and they bring their friends, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger because we're working on it. But if I just let it go, it's not what's going to happen. That's not whatever happens. Because you build things, and anything left to itself. That's why it doesn't bother me that much where somebody is as much as where they're going. I can look at one Christian and they are not drinking and smoking and chewing, but there's something different about them and they're dying spiritually. I look at another Christian and they're still drinking, smoking and chewing, but they're growing like crazy. And I'm much more worried about the person who isn't drinking and smoking and chewing. Why? Because they're dying. Okay? I don't want this one drinking, smoking and chewing. However, he's getting life. He's not deteriorating. And this church, it says, you have a name that you're alive. Obviously, at one point they were alive, but you're dead. And you better strengthen the things which remain, because you're going to die all the way. You got a little bit left. And so strengthen the things which remain. And so you got to be careful to make sure that we don't just die and follow the natural course of death in our lives and in our things around us. And just so I got a few points here. Number one, choose life, not death. Let me go to Jeremiah and Deuteronomy. These are some good verses about this. You say, duh, choose life, not death. Well, I don't think we all do that. See, not doing anything is choosing death. Choosing life is making choices and doing things. Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 3. And it says, and death shall be chosen rather than life. By all the residue of them that remain of this evil family. Okay, death shall be chosen rather than life. Jeremiah 21. Jeremiah 21. And verse 8. And unto this people thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And then I want to take you just to Deuteronomy chapter just God's heart in Deuteronomy. He expresses his heart so much in Deuteronomy. But Deuteronomy chapter 30 and just verse 19 for now. It says, I call heaven and earth to bear record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Choose life. Now, let me take you to the book of John. Book of John. All right, I'm laying a foundation. I want to make sure you're still with me. Are you following with us so far? Death is natural. Corruption is natural. Deterioration is natural. So we've got to make a choice. We've got to say, you know what? I've got to choose to not corrupt. my spiritual life, my family, my spiritual life, my physical health, I've got to choose not to deteriorate, or I'm going to. Your flesh is very powerful. It'll make you go down spiritually. John 5:24. Look how we can just choose life here. Verse 24. Very, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on it. This is John 5:24. A lot of Bible still turning, so I'll wait a sec. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Can I say, salvation is choosing eternal life instead of eternal death. You're choosing to live forever. Now, your body is going to die no matter what you choose, but you can live forever and choose life, not death. It's without God for eternity, without Christ. You don't want that. So, what can we do to not just choose death? Well, you're going to naturally die spiritually unless you do something about it. You're going to naturally die health-wise. But I want to say, if you make a choice. So, I crossed this line somewhere in maybe 19, 20, 21, 22, somewhere in that area where my health changed. My metabolism changed. I could suddenly gain weight. I used to be able to run and run and run and run and run. And now, all of a sudden, I had to work out a little bit. Not too bad, but I was feeling okay, but it just changed a little bit. I wasn't naturally as flexible. And throughout my 20s, I was still in great shape, still felt great. But, you know, I had to work a little bit more at it. And I found a little fat spots that I didn't used to have. And it was a little harder to stay in shape. But wait a minute. I right now am in better health than I was 1 month ago. Okay? I've been exercising, I've been working out, I've been eating better. I asked for a Diet Coke now with my supersized meal. And so I'm ready to go. And I asked for extra lettuce and pickles on my burgers, my bacon cheeseburger. And all those, you know, it's a perfect meal. You've got your breads, you've got your meats, you've got your vegetables, pickles and lettuce and stuff, and it's perfect food. I've done those things. I am gaining muscle, I'm losing weight, I am getting more stamina, and I can now run under a 1 hour mile. Why? Because I've worked at it. But if I wouldn't have done anything, I'd have been that much more unhealthy. So you can pull against this natural dying you have, but it takes the effort to do it. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. You're just dying naturally. The flesh is going to pull you away. People are going to backslide. The church is going to have temptations to do wrong. It's easier to compromise than to stand strong. So you better choose to do right. You better choose to get healthier in your spiritual realm. Now you have to work at it. Now you have to change your diet. So I go to the doctor. They say I might have this acid reflux. You know what? I have no problem. I just want to find the problem. I don't care what the problem is. I can figure it out and fix it. We can work at stuff. We can attack it. We can change our diet. We can do all kinds of things. I just... Give me something to work on, and we can tackle it. Because something's falling apart. Something's not working right. So I just want to know what's wrong. If I have to, listen, now I like eating junk. Just what I naturally had. If I have to eat good, I'll do it. And as I've gotten, my body needs it more, I do more. Why? Because I know I need to. So if you know you're going to die spiritually, naturally, You need to work on it. So number one, we said choose life, not death. And number two, get to Jesus. Get to Jesus. We're in John, so we'll go to John 1, verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. We read all those verses in Romans 5 where it says, as by one man sin came into the world, and death by sin, even so life came by Jesus Christ. And so we see that by one man's life, We're all saved and made alive. And so we see that. Let me take you to 1 Corinthians 15. Because Jesus Christ is life. And so if we get to Jesus, we get life in us. In verse 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 20. But now as Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit, we're going to read 20 through 22. The first fruits of them that slept, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So we see that Jesus brings the life to that which was dead. So if a church is dying, you know what it needs? It needs Jesus. It needs the Holy Spirit. It needs Jesus' word preached. A church that's dead can be made alive, but not without a big workout. Not without big efforts. A dead Christian can be made alive, but it takes a great effort. And the first thing we got to do is just get to Jesus. You know why? Because when you became born again, when God got a hold of your heart, you took off with life and you were alive and healthy spiritually. And you had this vibrancy to your spiritual life and excitement and this growth and a hunger for the word of God. And you're growing like crazy. Well, guess what? When you quit growing, whatever age that is, you start dying. But we've got to get back to Jesus because physically, we may never grow again. In certain ways we will, but not the right ways. And so we've got to get to Jesus. Boy, are you ever tired tonight? I'm trying. I'm going to throw water. I got a big water bottle here. Lots of cold water to wake you up. and so we get to Jesus and we begin to grow again spiritually because our bodies may be older and not growing anymore, but our spirits can be as alive when we're 70 as when we're first saved, because the same thing that made us grow is Jesus. And so we've got to get to Jesus. Look at 1 Peter 1:4. This is a neat verse that talks about that. 1 Peter chapter 1. It's one of those verses. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. It's one of those verses that you really got to chew on and think what it's saying there. 2 Peter 1:4. Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You are escaping corruption through the divine nature. Now listen, you go up to an IV and whatever's in the bag up there goes into you. You are partakers of God's divine nature. What is he? In him was life, and life was the light of men. When you hook up to Jesus, his divine nature comes into you and makes you spiritually alive. And so those of us, if we're dying, we've got to get back to Jesus. It's not, I got to get more character. I got to go back to this discipline. No, you've got to plug into Jesus again, and you'll grow again. Same with your marriage. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, Jesus abolished death and brought life. That's what he is. So next, in number one, we said choose life, not death. Number two, get to Jesus. Number three, grow or die. We're in 2 Peter in chapter 1. And we'll do a little lengthy passage here, verse 3. According to his divine power, hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. We're going to read all the way through verse 10. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now notice this. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, you're adding, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and you're going to add to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they're growing, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, he's dying, and hath forgotten that he's purged from his old sins. You're growing. You grow or you die. Listen, a child's born and they're a little tiny baby and they're growing. And it's amazing how fast they're growing in the first 2 years. I read one time how much you would weigh if you continued to grow as fast as you did in the first 2 years. And we'd all be like, you know, 4,000 pounds. And they grow. And then you're growing, your teenagers, you're growing and you're healthy. You're easily healthy. Why? You're growing. Now, you've got to grow spiritually. I want to say in the spiritual life and in a church. I don't mean numerically in a church necessarily. There's churches way out in the boonies who are running their population. I mean, that's what it is. But numerically, sometimes it says something, but sometimes it doesn't. But I want to say a church is they're growing. Something's happening. They're going somewhere. They're growing spiritually. They're growing numerically. People are being saved. Something is happening. They're going forward or it's dying. You as a Christian are in one of two states right now. You are growing or you are dying. You're growing or you're dying. You've got to decide to grow. And the Bible says, that he gives us some ways, and we've covered it many times. I just want to read, just give you two of them real quick. Ephesians 4. Grow. Decide to grow. And by the way, grow in your relationship and marriage. Grow as in your wisdom and your knowledge of life. Grow in your relationship with your children. Grow in your relationship with your parents. Grow as an employee. Be a person of growth. Don't be so frustrated by what you aren't. Be more excited by what you're becoming. But what are you becoming? Because if you're not growing, you're becoming a worse Christian. If your marriage isn't growing, you're becoming farther apart. And so you want to focus on growth. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is ahead even Christ. It's talking about the church. He gives gifts for the verse 12 for the perfecting of saints. And so you're growing by going to church. I want to say, this is so dumb and obvious to me, but it needs to be said. Pick your church by where you get fed and grow. Amen. Not by how cute the lead singer of the praise band is. Or how great the building is. Or how great the music is. Or how beautiful or how nice a latte stand is. It's ridiculous the way people choose a church. My friends are there. That's it. I mean, are you growing? You want to be where you're going to grow and learn. Are you learning? Because the next thing you grow is by the word of God. It's well-known verse, but 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Where are you getting fed? You grow when you eat. You grow when you eat. You ever notice Luke in our church? He's Haitian. You ever notice Luke's a big guy? He's 6'2", 6'3". Did you know almost every Haitian that I will meet will be shorter than me? You know why Luke is that big? Luke's descendants are Africans, as all Haitians are. Africans are generally big. Haitians are very small. You know why? They're malnourished. Most Haitians are shorter than me. The average Haitian, I'm going to say, is 5'7". Okay? Males. The reason is simply, Luke is very wealthy and has a very large farm. And he grew up in the country. Alto, same story. They both grew up eating well. And they're well-built people. And listen, that's the way Christians are. You got these little puny Christians because they don't eat. They're malnourished. They don't read their Bible on their own. They're not pushed to spend time meditating and reading the scriptures. They don't go to church and they get two verses and a cloud of dust. They don't learn anything. But this music's great. Yeah, but you haven't grown in 5 years. Still struggling with the same sin. Why? You're not growing. The church is supposed to help you grow. And you grow by eating right. And so go where you're going to get fed. And there are good churches that'll feed you. You don't need to stay at home. There's good churches. And there's good churches all over the world that'll feed you. You got to find those, not what's most entertaining. And if you're not growing, and that's the same with our bodies, basically when you quit growing, you start getting, now you just have to start struggle with your health. Does that mean there are not some 60-year-olds who are in better shape than me? Oh, yeah, there are. Why? They work at it. They're active. They're growing. And so they're just fine. And we don't have to be corrupted all the time. And spiritually, we don't have to die. But many Christians start to die at a certain point. Why? Because they're not taking heed to themselves and adding to their faith, virtue, and growing. And so they're doing that. And if you want to grow, just lastly, it's kind of an obvious one, but I want to say you sow right. You're doing the right kind of sowing. Galatians chapter 6. You grow by sowing the right things. Good seed makes a good crop if you take care of it. And well known, verse 8, he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. You're going to be growing something. And then I want to go back to Romans 8:13. We read nearby verses, but Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. The Indian once said, I heard this story about there was two Indians, one, or there's an Indian in a Mankato, and he was a very godly and spiritual Native American that got saved. And somebody said, I heard you become a Christian. He said, yes, I become Christian. He says, what is it like being a Christian? He said, it's like I have two dogs inside of me. One bad dog, one good dog. The dog that I feed always wins the fight. And if you feed your flesh, you reap corruption, deterioration. If you feed your spirit, so you look at your life and say, what does my music feed? What do I read? What does it feed? What does my thoughts feed? What am I feeding? Because I'm going to grow something here by feeding it. I'm going to get it healthier. What am I sowing to? What am I giving myself to? What am I doing? Because I want to grow healthy spiritually. Strengthen the things which remain because you're dying. You haven't ended your life, but you're dead. And so, I don't know about you, I don't want to die spiritually. I don't want to start deteriorating and corrupting spiritually. I feel like I'm growing right now. I feel like God's working in me and I'm learning. And by the way, what are you learning? It's a big thing. Usually if you're growing, you're learning. God's speaking to you. Usually when you're dying, you're stuck in the same old knowledge. And yesterday's food won't feed you today. What are you getting from God? If I'm understanding that things are going to deteriorate naturally, I've got to be vigilant to be careful to choose life. You understand? You follow? That takes choice of diligence. So the question is, are you growing or are you dying? Which one are you at right now? Growing or dying? Growing or dying? Growing takes the effort. Dying, listen, if you didn't take care of yourself and ate what you wanted to eat and exercise you wanted to exercise and did what you wanted to do, how long would it take you to get extremely sick? You know how long it'd take me? Not very long. I would be buying a new wardrobe within 2 months. Easy. I gain it, lose it quick. So what do you want to do? Do you want to just let the natural, you used to be on fire for God, and now you're kind of, or do you want to say, I'm going to live for God. I want to live. I want to be alive. I want to grow until Jesus comes. Let's pray. Father, help us to grow, Lord, not die. And Lord, really just the principle of the automatic is corruption. We got to choose life. Help us to do so. Help us to do what that church was told to do. You need the Holy Spirit. You need messages. You need Jesus. that church needed to strengthen the things which remain, because those things were dying too. A lot of the parts of them had already died. They needed to strengthen the things which remained. Lord, may we choose to grow. May we not stay where we were. May we go to a new level. May we go to you and ask you for something to do for you. Some spiritual exercise. May we go to you and get some food. May we know more about you. May we study your word more. May we go forward, not backward. Please, Lord, help us as we understand this. I pray that we would be a church that grows. And Lord, growing numerically is great, but Lord, grow spiritually. Go to a new level. More godliness. More core people. More people involved. More lives being changed. Help us to grow. Help our marriages to grow. Help our health is good, Lord. I pray that health would grow. That's fine, but Lord, help us spiritually, most of all, to be drawing closer to you and not letting it go and getting out of shape and beginning to deteriorate and corrupt. In Jesus' name, now heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. And Jeremy, maybe play the piano.